afternoon and welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Today we have a really special treat for you, some live music right here in the studio with three Anchorage artists. Why? Because we're talking about the Spinard Jazz Fest running May 19 through June 3. And you can hardly talk about a music festival without hearing some music. We'll also background you on the Spinard Jazz Fest. This is its 11th year. How do you go from ground zero to a full-blown music festival that's thrived for more than 10 years? We'll find out from festival founder and artist Ingvild Vatngutu. She'll spin a few songs for us on her Melodia and tell us what a Melodia is. Welcome, Ingvild.
Thank you so much for having me back.
We're so glad to have you. And here with us on keyboards is Dan McElrath of the Dan Mac Trio and vocalist John Pipes Teemer. Welcome, Dan and John.
Hey.
Thank you.
How you doing?
So happy to have you. We were having a wave of music just before the show started. I'm still bouncing. So.
I got to tell you, I'm impressed that you said Ingvild's name so smoothly. It just flowed.
It's luck. It's luck.
He was up all night last night.
Practicing. Right. So there's much to talk about today, from musical lineups to invite-only house concerts and how to get invited to a house concert, workshops, all-day jazz marathon, a movie at the Bear Tooth related to the festival about jazz guitar great Bill Frisell. And a new symbiosis with the Alaska Independent Musician Initiative, or ACME. We'll be talking about that a little bit.
Okay.
Awesome. Great.
So one more thing before we get started. Alaska Public Media is a media partner this year with Spinard Jazz Fest. You'll hear us talk about websites, and we've listed them all on alaskapublic.org, so don't worry about writing things down as you move through your day. Just if you hear something you want to check out, you can Google Spinard Jazz Fest, or you can go to alaskapublic.org. We'll have links there for you. And lastly, your calls and questions are invited throughout the show, and even requests. Now, we're not guaranteeing we're going to do your requests, but we'd love to hear what you'd love to hear. So you can give us a call today at 550-8433 in Anchorage, 1-888-353-5752 around the state, or send us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. All right. So, Ingvild, I'm starting with you because you are the founder.
Yeah. Yes, I guess so. I'm one of them. We were eight people, actually.
Were you? Okay, you're the last one standing?
It was my fault, though. It was my fault that we all founded it.
I don't know. Dan and I found her, so we're the founders, too.
You're the founders
of found
Ingvild.
It. It's different. You found the festival, or we found you, and then founded is a different verb, but that's okay. It's all the same, really.
So, again, we gave the dates May 19th through June 3.
Yes.
Many venues around town. Best place to do is go to your festival and look under venues and schedules and all kinds of stuff like that.
So, yeah, and you know, I think the best thing, and we're used to it now, 2018. 10 years ago, this was kind of like an unheard of thing. But now I think people expect to be involved or to be able to be involved or to be able to chat to us and whatever. And so just go to the contact page right away and say, hi, I'm so-and-so, I love jazz, and how can I get involved? Can I come to a house concert? Can I volunteer? Can I give you money, or can you give me money? The answer to the last one, I think you can guess. But, you know, just contact us and say, hi, I love music, and, you know, jazz is more than jazz in our case.
Okay, and so, Ingvild, I think... What's that?
Well said.
Yeah. Yes, very well said. She's got it down.
She's awesome. That's why she's the founder.
She's the founder. So, Ingvild, I think you came up here many years ago with a theater group and stayed. Am I right?
That's right.
And it was a children's theater group?
Yeah. It was a Scottish theater group called wait for it, Visible Fiction. They were... Or Visible Fiction, if you're speaking
very
English.
Well,
Visible Fiction. And they're from Glasgow, and I used to work with them. And we did a really cute 45-minute kind of family-friendly version of a French film called The Red Balloon.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We just caught the imagination of the American audiences because we toured for 4 years across the USA and Canada with that show. And so by the time I came up here, I couldn't move, so I just stayed.
No, I'm done.
It wasn't quite like that. It was completely surprised to me. I was going to live in Toronto and maybe move to New York, and I couldn't believe it when I heard myself say that I was moving here, but everyone else believed it, so.
And that was many years ago, right?
It's my 15th anniversary this year.
Okay. So see, you can fall in love with Alaska and not be a hunter and fisher. That's
right. Yeah, be a musician.
I just kind of felt that there was room for some Ingvild here, and that's literally how I felt, you know?
Making room for Ingvild.
Yeah,
I think you're the only Ingvild we have here.
Yeah. That was like, yeah, and I felt it right away.
Yeah.
It was like total Yeah, and so I haven't really thought of going somewhere else. So
I know you go around, you go back.
I go
home,
around.
You go around, but
around.
You come back. Mm-hmm. You, what goes around comes around, and you come back.
Yeah.
Now, I want to ask you, where did the idea for the festival come? I mean, were you laying in bed one night and just said, I must have a music festival?
No. We were eight. So I came with theater, right? But I'm also a musician, as you know.
I can tell.
Yeah. So I was writing music for theater when I was in theater. I was never just like an actor of it, but I had all, you know. So I had written a lot of theater music, and I was still not quite feeling like a real musician. So I was actually lonely. I didn't have any musicians to play with. So I had three, this is the true story. There's three reasons for Spinaugia Jazz Fest. One, I was lonely. I wanted to see if a band I was playing with outside could come here. Was there an audience for our kind of music? That was sort of like a side thing. And the third was quite simply that I one day at Organic Oasis found myself with seven other musicians who were also composers. We had been playing together, just loose, you know, gigging around. And it was, you know, all, you know, it was Carl Posh, who owns the Music Man. It was Joe Craig. It was Cameron Cartland. It was Marion Call. It was Liz Malice. It was John Danberg. It was Eric and Inoyu. And probably I forgot one.
Not these
that
two
I
gentlemen.
Remember.
Huh?
We found them the following year.
Yeah. Okay.
They were found the next year. But that first year, we were all just sitting around having smoothies. It wasn't even anything more like jazzy, you know. It was smoothies, non-adult beverages.
Ingle found us later on the street with a sign that says "We'll play for food" or something like that.
we'll play for a smoothie.
We'll play for a smoothie. That's right.
So, but that's what we did. We played for smoothie at Organic Oasis. We played smoothie jazz. Yeah. Where's the drum? And so I just remember saying again, we have 8 hours of original music between us. We play for each other. We will even make money. So why don't we just all have a one-day festival? That is a festival by definition. 8 hours
makes a festival.
And we all just played in each other's bands, and we had 230 people in through the doors. Mm. We tried to cram 230 people into Organic Oasis.
And you did it.
You'll see how incredibly sweaty and hot it was. It was one hot, sweaty day in 2008. Only one. It was the worst summer on record. But that one hot, sweaty day, we were all inside Organic Oasis.
And then you Sardines. Just couldn't stop after that.
Yeah, and after that, I wasn't that lonely.
Yeah, okay. And I have one more question for you,
mm-hmm.
and then I don't know what we'll do after that, but I want to know, you went and got a master's in music, like...
Yeah, I had to.
Two-thirds of the way into your life.
Sorry,
oh, that's why you did it.
I interrupted you.
Two-thirds of the way through your life, you decided to get a master's in music.
How
what was
old,
that about?
How old am I? Now, so, I'm studying now. You know, my whole life I've been studying to show people that I can do the thing that I already am doing, because a lot of education nowadays is so you can have the right papers.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think that it was wasted, but it was one of the, again, I have typically three motivations for what I do.
Lonely.
One was go to New York, because I, you know, NYU was an awesome experience, and mm-hmm. NYU in particular, because all the faculty were like super famous people, like Lenny Pickett, who came up last year. John Schofield, who's considering coming up another year, and lots of other people that I met.
You made a lot of connections.
Yeah. It's just, you know. Yeah. And so the other ones is just like I was needing to do something that was amenable to the immigration authorities, because I've been here living and working a lot, and I was running out of stuff to do. And the third one was something I forgot. That I needed to have paper that I could play jazz. And I actually learned quite a bit that year, two and a half years.
I was going to ask you whether it was weird going back to school, but I realize you've never stopped
going
to school.
I haven't stopped, but it is really weird. You're as old as their mothers, and they've got little spots, you know, they're worried about their spots.
Wow.
You're worried about completely different things,
parts of
your body.
So there are a lot of 28-year-old mothers going to school now? Is that
But I tried to, you know, like straighten out my face so they wouldn't see my wrinkles. No, it wasn't. I mean, I wasn't that old, but it was, yeah.
Right, but it's still different.
It was more that the teachers actually didn't like to have me in the room with them, because I could see right through their two-letter word for what they might be. It's just a dynamic between teacher and student that is a certain way. And a lot of them have one way of being, and they couldn't quite handle it. Although I try to, you know, I'm very quiet and sit in the corner. I don't make much out of myself. I can't imagine they would have felt at all.
It was her accent. All right. They were intimidated by
no,
her accent.
No, but you know, I am a shy person hiding my shyness inside all this extrovertedness.
With all this exuberance.
And it's a really good act. I'm so shy that nobody knows I'm
shy. Okay, let me tell people who this shy person is. You're listening to Hometown Alaska, and we have basically the Spinard Jazz Fest, at least pieces of it, here in the studio today. And we have Ingvild Vatngutu, we have Dan McElrath, and John Pipes Teamer, and we have big surprises for you coming up. I got to go to one of your early sort of media events and got to hear these guys play together, and it was just thrilling. So that's coming up.
That's
but,
exciting.
And, you know, I'll throw out the numbers one more time, but I mostly wanted you to know, what are we talking about? If someone's talking about being lonely, they want to know, what is that about?
This is a show about loneliness and Spinard.
So 550-8433 in Anchorage, or you can send us an email to hometown@alaskapublic.org. Okay, so I want you to play something, but first I want you to tell me what it is. What is that instrument over there?
Yeah, well, I have to say that because it's called a melodica, I have to say it's made by Yamaha, and that's not because they're paying me to do it, but each manufacturer has patented a different name for this thing. That's
how important this instrument
is. Yamaha. It's called a melodica, but it can also be called a pianica. Actually, this is a pianica. I lied.
Oh.
A melodica, if it's honer and pianica, and then just harmonica is actually not that, but they're trying it out. So that each manufacturer has a different name, but it's like a Hoover, you know, a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
So it's almost a vacuum because it has a hose and everything,
but
you can also clean your floors with it.
Vacuum cleaner. It vacuums your ears.
So do you blow into it?
Yeah, you blow. But if you don't press a key down on the piano thing at the same time, the air can't come into the instrument and vacuum your ears.
Is it a little like a harmonica, only more fancy?
You know, well, it's for me, because I'm a trumpet player, it's a very natural. It's like I blow almost the same amount of air that I blow into a trumpet, and then I play piano as well.
Play a keyboard. And let's describe it for people. It's like
a
foot
three
long.
Octaves. If people know what an octave is, this is an octave. This is an octave. And this is an octave.
Okay.
There you go.
It's a little tiny baby piano.
The tiny baby piano that sounds like a harmonica almost.
Okay.
Or
three
accordion. Three octaves.
Three
and
octaves.
You can get them smaller and larger.
Okay.
And they, in China and Japan, they're serious. They play classical concert.
This is not a new instrument. It wasn't.
No, but it's new for adults. It's kind of been a fad that's lasting. It's like us adult musicians play it. And you don't have to practice as much as you do on the trumpet.
So many fewer keys to play. Like not like Dan over here. His is about 6 feet long.
Pianos.
His is 6 feet long.
Yes.
So do you
does it need to be tuned?
Oh,
this is actually out of tune by default. It arrives out of tune, and you're not supposed to do anything about it.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's you know. It's a relatively cheap. Even the expensive ones
are cheap.
They are a little out of. They're a little. It's a kind of a toy piano, but you can express yourself on it.
It fits into a backpack. You can bicycle with it.
Yeah. And they make them in really fun colors and things like that.
So
not this one, but the other one.
Do you want to play a little something for us? Just solo?
Yeah, sure. I wasn't going to, but I know you heard me just scoot
you
around
were practicing.
On it earlier. So I'm just going to practice.
All right. Just for a minute.
What's a month we're in now? Is it almost
summer? It's May.
It's almost summer.
I'm clapping. Oh, and audience, you should be clapping too. So thank you, Ingvild. Thank you for doing that spontaneously. I didn't really warn you, I guess, that I was going to ask.
It's okay. I'm over it.
That was beautiful.
Yeah. Well, it's just very sort of, you know, see why you can be lonely and play, you know, it's like a little solitude and all.
And you just play with one hand. And you're holding it with the other one.
Yeah, you can do different things, but, you know, it's pretty loud, actually, in your ears. If you don't have this hose to sort of, it's a hearing protection as well. You know, it keeps it away from you.
I was also thinking about accordions.
I'm trying to be a little Russian. You know, I sometimes play with a Russian violinist called Lena, and I try to make it sound more
Russian.
Russian.
Okay. Yeah. So, anyway. Wow. So what else do you want to tell people? What's the most important thing people need to know? Do you need volunteers?
I think they need to know that this is the 11th Spinard Jazz Fest. And it's okay if they didn't know that it existed, but they've probably heard about it.
It's time to catch on.
You know, there's not that many festivals that go on and on and on like that. And we didn't plan it. And it's a very small group of people that work it, but it's put on by musicians. Uh-huh. This is not a commercial festival. Somebody's trying to, you know, make money and maybe having sort of issues with the musicians and all of that kind of stuff that comes with festivals that try it on. You know, we just want to present our music. A lot of us have worked pretty hard towards it, presenting new original stuff. And we have several premieres. We're going to hear from one of the show premieres in this program very soon.
Yeah, coming up.
So it's incredibly fun because we have 7 or 8, or is it 9 now? It grows every day, house concert that go before the main weekend. And those house concerts are private and we can get you to them.
This is a key piece of information people need. You need to go to the website and send an email saying, I want to go.
I want to go. And then we have 2 people that are just doing nothing between now and the first house concert, May 19th, to kind of get people connect them to the host. And the host will invite you, and then you can say, yes, I'm going. And all of the artists are going to also, they're all playing both the house concert and
public venues.
And a set on the 2nd of June. But it's a very unique thing to do if you haven't been to a house concert, to go to somebody's house and sit there,
and have munchies.
We all do house concerts all the time. And it's just the best. It's for all of us. Really, musicians like it, the hosts like it, and the guests love it.
It's a singular experience.
Did you mention, too, are there some who may want a house party, may want to give a house party like this?
Are you still recruiting?
Yes.
Oh, people who host it? This year we're full. Okay. I mean, we've got a house concert every day between May 19th and June 3rd, pretty much. But
If someone is interested in
being interested in it, they should also, absolutely, because there's the future, you know?
The 12th annual.
There's the 12th annual, and there is the season, the fall and winter season. We talked about it last year. This year, we will be hosting.
Oh, so you're not going to, you're going to continue on in a less formal way, maybe?
After the 3rd of... Spinard Jazz Fest has a couple. We're going to do some things in the winter. And there is another house concert for the Lullaby Project on the 7th. Okay. I also heard about it. So there's just lots of chances. But if your house doesn't have to be super big, but if you have a big house,
how do you feel about backyards?
Backyards, great. We have 2 yard parties this year, and then we have some houses and a little apartment, and it's kind of a mixture.
So if someone says, you can be in my backyard, and then it's raining, do they have to put everybody inside that day then?
Depends. If it's Dan playing, it could be raining.
Dan can play in the rain?
No. Singing in the rain, yeah. If we do a Debbie Reynolds thing, we can have it in any weather. Yeah.
If we do an outside party, tell them, make sure they have a Traeger. I threw that plug in there. It's a great
barbecue. Can I just say that we've been extremely lucky? We had one concert last year that was sort of had to move inside, but Spinard Jazz Fest, if you bring Spinard Jazz Fest to your yard, you bring the sun to your yard.
You bring sunshine.
Bam. Yeah,
sunshine.
We are very weather friendly.
All right, well, we're going to take a little tiny break. We're going to be right back, and we're going to have more music. So I'm Kathleen McCoy, and you're listening to Hometown Alaska.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls.
Hometown Alaska. Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. And as I told you, and you've probably been listening, we have the Spinard Jazz Fest, the whole fest, right here in the studio. Well, we have three
best of the fest.
And in the studio, and we've been talking with Ingvild Vattengutu, who was one of eight founders back 11 years ago. And they're getting ready for this year's festival, May 19th through June 3. And now I'm going to throw the ball to Ingvild because she's going to introduce some of the musicians we have with us.
Yes. We are a great team that are putting the festival on, and there's a lot of good musicians. But I think my kind of favorite act this year, if I can, I can't say that because this is a small town, but one of my favorites, right?
They're all your favorites.
I discovered, and the cool thing is I discovered these guys. I'm not saying I was the first person to discover them.
You were walking down an alley and you heard music?
I was walking down, it's actually true, because for John, who's going to sing in a minute, I discovered him when he was standing in the middle of town square surrounded by the Air Force band singing. And he was in uniform. And I suddenly, you know, I'm from Scandinavia. We have this thing with the military. We're not like always super, you know. But John turned me on to, you know, military
talent
singing.
There
were two singers and the
Air Force band.
Yeah. The uniform was just suddenly immaterial. And I just, you know, his singing is amazing. And over the years, because I've been lucky to play music with him, and not a lot, but you know, I sort of pop up now and again when
here
he
is
working. Yeah, here she goes. And you know, he has a lot of great talents. He's been emceeing for us a little bit, but one of the things that he's really, really good at, one of the many, because he's kind of like best hidden secret, not even secret. I told you, I discovered him. Many other people have discovered him. John can impersonate, meaning he can sing better than some of the most famous singers.
I am going
singers
to slide her a check.
He can sing better than some
of
the
of
best
zeros.
Singers yes. he's trying to impersonate, including Louis Armstrong.
I think you better not sing after that.
And today, Stevie Wonder.
I think she better stop my bank account.
Let me throw out our phone numbers.
So I discovered that later. And then he is here with his partner of many years, musical partner, Dan McElrath, who was introduced to me the second year of Spinard Jazz Fest. And when he came up, you know, he sort of just raised the bar for a lot of the stuff that was going on at Spinard Jazz Fest. So these two guys are incredibly competent, incredibly professional,
and fun.
And fun to listen to, and people don't want to go home.
Yeah.
So that's what's going to happen here.
Let me throw out our numbers, just because I said to folks we would take requests. We didn't say we would play the request, but maybe we can. We'll have to see what the musicians say. But the number's 550-8433. Oh, Kevin Barnett just emailed us, and he said... He says,
"Hey, Kev.
Oh no!
Hey,
hi, Kevin.
Say hi to all the guests. Can they play a song all together? Oh, well, that's a request. Perhaps we can do that. But so at 550-8433, or send us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. Do you guys want to say hi to Kevin since he's
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Kay.
Okay. So back to where you were. Do you want to?
Yeah. So this year, Dan Mack Band and Associates, I think, are producing a full length, like a 2-hour tribute show to none other than Stevie Wonder.
Mm.
And I did know that John could do a good Louis Armstrong, but I wasn't surprised that he was going to do a really awesome Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
And so they're premiering this at our festival, June 2nd at 8 p.m. at the 49 State Brewing Company. People who are sending us emails about getting an invite to a house concert may be lucky, because they are going to sneak peek it at one of the earlier house concerts.
Oh,
but the
wait,
big
you're not saying
show,
which one? Okay.
The big show indoors, weather guaranteed, at the theater right. is going to be June 2nd. And tickets are available and already going online.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, what do you guys have to say for yourselves?
Thank you, Ingvild. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll see you on June 2nd.
Yeah.
There's a large check going across
That's
here.
Right.
Yeah.
So, she should have stopped a while ago. I don't think I have enough money in my bank account to cover this.
That raving introduction. Well, Dan, we haven't even heard you say boo, so say boo.
Boo.
Okay. What do you guys want
to
do?
It's hard to get a word in between these two
guys. I
know. Guys,
you know? They're not shy. Right. They're not. Even though Ingvild says she's shy, I don't really think she's shy.
Well, she explained that. It's a different kind of shy.
Yeah. Yes. There's many kinds of shy, and hers is a special kind of shy. Okay.
That's right.
Well, set the stage for us, Dan, or... John?
I'd love to hear from him, too. He's been kind of quiet.
I know. He's shy. Well, He's the true shy one.
Yeah,
tell us
right.
about yourself, Dan.
I said at the media event that you were at that there's an old joke among musicians that you that the jazz musicians play, 3,000 chords to three people, and rock musicians play three chords to 3,000 people. And so we sold out is what we did. we did the original stuff, and that was really fun and exciting and great. And then when I called up people and said, hey, we're thinking of doing a Stevie Wonder, they were like, Stevie Wonder, you know. So they were really excited about that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been really fun. But the only way you can do Stevie Wonder is if you got somebody who can sing like Stevie Wonder, you know.
Not everybody can sing like
Stevie
Wonder.
And that ain't me.
Yeah, right? If you got to have pipes.
You got to have pipes, yeah.
John Pipes.
We started throwing a Stevie Wonder tune or two in the mix of some of our other shows over the past couple of years. And
it went over well.
Was it a year ago or that we were like, we should just sell out to this thing and see what happens, you know, do a show of this. And so this past winter, we sat down and decided to make it happen.
Yeah.
And been incredibly well received. We've got lots of dates between now and actually booked into February of next year.
You're
going to
quit your day job? No.
No. The only show is June 2nd.
Yes. That's right.
You can only see these guys at
the
Spinard
Jazz table, but I can't reach him.
Dan had come back from a flight. He had gone to the Lower 48, I think, to spend some time with his mom. And he came back and he says, John, he says, you know, we've been kicking this around. We really should do this Stevie Wonder thing. I was like, okay, you know, let's go for it. And I really love Stevie Wonder because I grew up with, you know, his music for one. But that was a time when I auditioned for the band some 20-something years ago. Actually,
for
almost 30-something
years.
Air Force Band, yes. And I remembered when I was in one of the rooms, they told us to pick out songs. And we had this little fake book. And one of the songs was Isn't She Lovely? And I pulled the book out, and I had the pianist, Roz Tapia. She was playing on the piano, Air Force Bandsman. And she said, well, let's see what key it's in. And I started singing, and she was like, wow, he's got perfect pitch. And they were going around saying, this guy's got perfect pitch. And I grabbed him. I said, folks, I don't have perfect pitch. I said, I have perfect Stevie. So I was really glad when Dan said, let's do Stevie Wonder, though, because he has been really an icon for me and seeing so many things he does. And I appreciate the intro that Ingvall gave me, but, I mean, this is Stevie Wonder, so I'm just thankful to be able to,
channel,
yeah,
Stevie.
Yeah, to walk on his shoes. But a great artist, great influence in my life, too, as well. So,
well, I'm just going to...
Thank you, Stevie.
You know, we're going to hear from you. I'm just going to let folks know this is the Spinard Jazz Fest. We've got Ingvall Vatngutu, John Pipes Teamer, special emphasis on the pipes, and Dan McElrath. And, you know, if you've got a request, let us know, 550-8433, or we're just going to entertain you for the rest of the hour. So
please request Stevie Wonder tune.
Yeah. Okay. So let's hear one. Guys choose. What do you want to do?
You set that one up pretty well.
Isn't she lovely?
Yeah.
Okay. She is.
And you have to play too.
Yeah.
That's right.
She's ready.
Right.
She's ready.
I got it here.
That's a little John.
Isn't she lovely? Isn't she wonderful? Isn't she precious? Less than 1 minute, oh, I never thought to love Isn't she lovely? Life and love are the same. Life is Asia. The meaning of her name. Lordy, it could have not been done without you. Can see the one that's so very lovely, made from love.
Good one. That was kind of at the beginning.
That's
though,
yeah, right? I put it in the wrong end.
I wish I'd have known you had that effect. I wasn't ready.
Yeah. That was very awesome. That was awesome. Thank you.
And this was actually, a good one because it was written about Stevie Wonder's daughter, Aisha.
That was the crying at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, yeah.
I thought you were crying because the song was over.
It was just a birth cry. It wasn't like
there was a
sad
bathtub
cry.
Scene at the end, I think.
What?
There's a bathtub scene at the end. She's in the bathtub and she's playing with something.
Yeah, yeah, and she's splashing. Yeah.
Well, I've done that too. And it's with the same theater show that I talked to you about earlier. We had a sound thing. But no,
you could do splashing.
I missed
you could do that June 2nd.
Yeah.
June 2nd. Right. The bathtub. You could roll me in a bathtub.
Right. So, Kevin Burnett, that was for you. All three of them were playing at the same time.
Kevin.
And I have to mention that Kevin plays the sound for our song, for our show, Weed Dog. And so, Kevin has been part of Hometown Alaska for a really long time. So, it's really nice to.
Well, Kevin used to be in the band too. Kevin was an Air Force band.
Yes.
And he had just retired prior to me coming to Alaska. So we never got to play together and in the band.
Yeah.
We have got a chance to play together outside of the band. But great person.
Oh, sorry. I'm hoping Kevin will play at a house concert, but this is getting really sort of like nuts and boltsy, but it's Kevin. And you might
get a job
phone
offer,
call.
Kevin.
Yeah.
There's a check involved.
Such a good request that we're going to want you to play.
He's a great guy. You know, I say this to Kevin. You can cut me a check later. No, but no, really. He's just that kind of guy that, you know, I was sitting in Lowe's at one point and Kevin walked in. And it was funny because, you know, if you know Kevin, he's like this really tall dude, you know, he's getting a little burly now, a little bit now. But he walks up and he just says, "Hey, John," and he gives me this big bear hug, man. And I'm sitting there going, I just love this guy, but he's just
warm.
Like that.
He's warm.
He's very warm.
Kevin's been around actually for a very, very long time.
No, he's only 27.
We're all only 27. Right?
How dare you, Dan?
Hey, I want to welcome a caller onto Hometown Alaska.
All right.
Hello, Eric.
Hey.
Welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Day.
Yeah. What? You have a song? You have a request? You have a comment?
Yeah. I think it would be fantastic to hear Superstition.
We got some grinning going on here.
I don't know if that's possible, but that's one of my favorite songs of all time.
June 2nd, for sure. How about tonight? Oh, here it goes.
Is that the right one?
I think that's it, Dan.
That's it?
Yeah.
Well, we give you a taste. Come back for more.
Yeah.
How about,
it's a teaser.
Well, let's give him a little bit. He asked
Yeah,
for
do
it,
it a little
so
bit. Little
okay,
bit.
Okay, sure. Eric, listen up. We're going to give you a little bit.
All right, Eric, I want you to sing along with me now. We won't hear you, but sing along. Okay?
In your living room.
Very superstitious. Writings on the wall. Very superstitious. Ladder's about to fall. 13-month-old baby breaks the looking glass. 7 years of bad luck. Good times in the past. When you believe in things you don't understand, then you'll suffer. Superstition ain't the way. Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
And that
the
was like
flavor.
just the drop of a hat and you did it. Yeah. I mean, gosh, that was so terrific.
We're going to keep Ingvar for sound effects after.
Yeah.
I was doing the horn line with my, you know, pipes.
You got the baby cry, though, and the wolf call. It's, what else you have over there?
I can do
for
a bunch
lonely
of
person,
sound.
You got some serious.
If you want to do a radio show, we can do it.
All the things she learned from those lonely moments, man.
Nobody wanted to play with me, so I got really good at a lot of stuff.
So John, did you retire from the Air Force now? And you made Anchorage your home?
I did.
That's such a great thing.
Yeah, we were down in at the academy for 10 years, and it was a permanent assignment, and that was a hole of opportunity opened up, basically
coming
to Alaska, and it was the one place that I hadn't really been.
Yeah.
So I turned to my wife and said, how do you feel about going to Alaska? And she said, let's go. So I didn't ask twice. We came here and fell in love with it. We got here 2005, in December 2005.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about a winter wonderland. I'd been singing for 20 years, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, and never saw one until... Not even in Colorado Springs, we didn't have a white Christmas, you know. I mean, when I say that, I mean snowing and everything else, too. So,
yeah.
Alaska was absolutely beautiful. And my family's originally from Houston, Texas.
Right.
And they sit down and say, what in the world does a Texas boy love about Alaska? And I tell them, you have an hour, I'll tell you. So,
but it's the beginning. Tell you the beginning.
It's been a great place for us. And I'm here with four kids.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and my lovely wife.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
John's working on a new album.
Yes.
That's all about Alaska, too.
I am. Yeah. It's called Fireweed. And we're getting up to the end of it. It's funny. I started putting it together, and I started having all different musicians come in on it. Ilana is on it, too. Dan, of course, is
violinist.
On it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's on it. And a few other folks that have just kind of come along and said they wanted to be a part of it. So I was real pleased.
You're composing these songs yourself?
I did compose them myself. I asked Dan to really help me out with a lot of the instrumentation on the back end of it. But yes, these are all original songs written by me. So
maybe that'll be
all except one.
2019 Spinard Jazz Festival.
Yeah.
We'll be seeing it then.
Well, there is one that's on there that Dan wrote that's called A Good River. It's a beautiful song. I loved it so much. I asked him
song.
If I could feature it on this album. And
Can you do it?
Oh, I love that song. You could do it.
I'm going to take a tiny break first.
It's not super short, but
Or give us a taste. Give us a taste of it. So we're going to take a little break, and then when we come back, we're going to hear The River?
Is that
The Good River. So of course, we're talking Spinard Jazz Fest here. We have Ingvar Vattengutu and Dan McElrath and John Pipes Teamer. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy, and we are talking Spinard Jazz Fest. By the way, Alaska Public Media is the media partner for this year's Spinard Jazz Festival, and we are getting ready to perform. I'm not. I'm going to be listening, but John.
They're going to figure out the. Oh yeah.
They're passing iPads and things around here like crazy, and this is a song that
you know it. You're just going to play it?
We'll find out.
Whisper.
It was totally impromptu, but it's a beautiful song.
Well, let's give it a try. Yeah. So the name of it is The...
The Good River.
Written
after the Good River located in Glacier Bay, Alaska.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I spent some time down there at a really trying time in my life, and it was a very healing time for me.
Solace.
So The Good River was a good place
for
me.
But he wrote the song.
No,
I wrote
this
song.
Is the one.
You wrote the song, and you fell in love with it.
And I fell in love
John
with it to the point
love.
I wanted it on my album. So it's going to be on my album as well.
Okay.
And that
okay.
makes me jealous, but it's a beautiful song, so I'm going to get over it.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
There's a place I know on the banks of a river. The banks of a river called good. And it's there my heart longs to be when the world brings me to my knees. There the eagle cry, it calls to me, and the whales they sing their melody. There's a place I know on the banks of a river, and that is where I want to go, and that is where I want to go.
And that's the short version of it. Thanks, Dan.
That's very beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
There's so much behind that.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
I was sold on the song, this that he wrote it, but just because of what he was going through, I can see, you know, I just love it when people express, you know, themselves through song. And it's like we're doing Stevie Wonder. You'll find out a lot of his songs express the times of things that were happening at that point in time. Mm-hmm. So this was obviously something that was really, you know, happening in his life. Mm-hmm. And I love Dan a lot, and I'll say that behind his back too as well. But when he wrote this song and he had it played out, I think his daughter initially did it on his album. And he asked me if I would do the song when we went out to play, to do performances. And so when I got my album, prepared my album, I turned to him and said, "Hey, do you mind if I put this on my album?" And he said, "Sure." So I'm honored that he allowed me to do that.
That's great. That's great. How many tunes are on your album?
There's about 10.
10.
Yeah, there's about 10 right now.
Some you wrote, but then this one's from Dan.
And these are one's called Fireweed, one's called Dandelion. One's called Fall in Love with You, and it sounds like it's a love song, but it's not. It's about it is a love song, but it sounds like it's about someone. Uh-huh. But it's Alaska. But I do have one on there that's a tribute to my wife. And that one is called Never Alone.
So that is, I mean, as I'm sitting here listening
my
to
my wife in Alaska, that's right. So she's still Alaska.
you have a wife somewhere else.
No, that's a good point, though. I was just thinking about that. That didn't come across right.
My wife
who is here in Alaska. There you go. Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah. You know, it's just sitting here with you, you all have an amazing connection to one another that I think is partly the language that you can speak. It's an oral language. It's not necessarily words.
Well, Dan and I do. With Ingvall, it's called Paycheck. No, I'm kidding.
No, I will cut to the chase and say that the great thing about being a musician is that you do have something that can, you know, you work together. People work together. There's all kinds of strife and work and, you know, whatever. But and being a musician is the same. There's a lot of practicalities, a lot of stuff that has to happen. And everyone sort of knows that. Even if when you go and hear some music, you see it, you just expect that you're going to forget about your own strife and these musicians are going to play for you. But the thing is that we have shared a lot of moments of beauty, and those moments are not going away. That's the cool thing about beauty. If you have stuff that are difficult and hard and ugly or whatever, they tend, at least in my experience, they tend to dwindle with time. But your really beautiful moments, and especially the musical moments, when you heard a song the first time or what it did to you, where you were, or even when you decided, maybe not consciously, that you're going to move somewhere or do something for a living, you know, being a musician or whatever. It comes from these moments that are full of meaning and full of beauty. Mm-hmm. And they transcend people, personality, the situation, anything. Yeah. And we love each other for cherishing them. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same with this place, Alaska, for example. We love each other for loving this place and all of that. So it ties you together in the same way that, that music does. And
I think Stevie Wonder explained it in the song Sir Duke. He says music is a world within itself, mm-hmm. with a language we all understand, mm-hmm. with an equal opportunity for all to sing, dance, and clap their hands. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, you know, some people can get caught up in the words, but some people, like, I can hear a song that's foreign. I don't even know the language, but the music feels good. Mm-hmm. And so it moves you whether you're musically inclined or you're not. It just has that ability and that effect, you know. Whether it's I've heard all vocal music, I've heard all instrumental, and I've heard both. It just has a way of moving us in. And I think most of us can say that because as you drive around Anchorage, you see people bopping their heads in their cars.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They're singing in their cars. And,
yeah.
And,
it's like oxygen.
It
yeah,
is.
They need some.
And most all of us sing in the shower.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, so.
Even badly.
Yes.
I want to know what you think about audiences and how audiences affect you. Can a good audience bring something out of you that you weren't even thinking you were going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Or
yes.
An audience that's not with you affect you in some way? What do you think?
Yes, to me, an audience definitely can. It can elevate the energy, okay? So when you've got a great audience, it really is a great feel. But sometimes when I was like in the Air Force and I played for private parties, you could walk in with a lot of, you know, generals and they just finished, you know, talking
war.
About... War. So, but to be able to change the atmosphere. It sometimes music is fun because you can play off the energy, but sometimes music is really a game changer. And the whole idea is you walk into a setting sometimes to change that atmosphere. If you're going for a, I don't want to say a relief event for whatever the reason, music can sometimes open doors that sometimes politicians couldn't open up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it plays a large role, but yes, a good energy crowd does make a big difference to us. But we played with those who maybe not so energetic.
What about you, Dan? What do you think about?
It can be a thermostat and a thermometer. I think
when
the thermometer is hot and it's hot all the way around, it's hard to beat that.
Uh-huh.
Those are magical moments.
Yeah.
The language he's talking about that Stevie was referring to, it's like there's a fourth dimension in the world that everyone is aware of and in a unconscious state for sure. But music kind of brings us all to the same place in a conscious state.
Mm.
And there's a communication that happens. And when you're communicating with people that are really into what you're doing and what you're saying, there's this, it's like the universe reverberates in a way that it doesn't any other time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the moments musicians live for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're trying to be a thermostat, that's an important job too. To
lift the crowd.
Yeah,
or
to do at times.
Uh-huh.
But when you get them there and they're on the ride with you, that's
really
best.
Special.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Ingvild? You feel that too?
Yeah, and you know, I'm thinking because lately, in this last year or two, I've been sort of really busy with a lot of things, organizing. I'm going to school and doing other things, so I don't perform as much as I used to. I'll get back to it, but right now it's been sort of the odd occasion, and some of them have been you know, pretty sort of like important occasions, and I just sort of throw myself into it, and I'm surprised because what I realize is that. It's how you're prepared in a way, but not like practice whatever, but how your person is prepared to meet people. So if you just remember, you know, I am a musician, like, so I train a bunch, I practice a bunch and all that, but sort of take that for granted. But you just stand there or sit there, whatever you do, and you sort of are there, then people will start to connect with you. And this is an invisible connective things that happen. And you, even before you start playing, there's this, you realize, oh, we're just people. We're just here together.
Mm-hmm.
And aren't we lucky that we're here together to play and hear music? And it's so important that everybody knows that the people who listen are at least half of that, maybe much more than that.
Sometimes.
I think for me, it feels as a single performer, it feels like I'm 1%, and then there's a 99% that's the audience, and we're trying to manage it all while we're playing in a good way. But it's very important to know that we're all one when we're playing.
And you asked the question from, we're answering the question from a group of musicians to our audience.
But the other side of that is how when we get in the groove, because there's a moment where we're rehearsing and we're kind of learning, you know, we're kind of learning the music at it. And then there's a moment where you get into the groove. And the groove is really great because then you loosen up and you really feel great about it. I mean, you've got a large group of musicians, like we play with a big band. And you love it because everyone has their place in music, but yet we also step aside for those solos, and it's like we understand one another. It's a language in music where we respect one another and we respect their musicianship. Mm. So, you know, it's a great feeling. No one really steps on anyone, but we respect everyone. And that's when you can tell too, because it feeds into the vibe of what the audience is getting as well. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
that's the other side of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have another question. I'm gonna put our number out there just in case there's one more request, but maybe
okay.
not. 550-8433 or email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. I want to ask you guys what is it like to be a musician in Alaska? We heard the Good River. Clearly that was inspired both by what you were going through, but the place you were at. I'm sure, John, you have, with the Air Force, you have sung and played all over the world. You've mm-hmm. played all over the world, Ingvall. So is there something about Alaska that we could talk about making music here? What do you think? Too vague of a question?
No. Well, no, it's a big, you know, we can take it in many different ways. Maybe if one of us starts, then the others can try to find other aspects of it.
Well, that's why you're here.
Go for it.
You wanted to start music in Alaska.
Okay, there's two things. One thing is, of course, the inspiration and the idea of the inspiration that you'll get from a place that's very close to nature. So mm-hmm. I play some instruments that I haven't played so much in public yet that are kind of nature instruments, and I feel that they're very close to it. And I'm lucky I have a window that faces Kachemak Bay and mountains, and mm-hmm. I can sort of just take it all in. I don't know what to do with that inspiration. Really, I don't.
It's huge.
I'm trying to live up to it. Uh-huh. So in a way, a place that's so spectacular, magnificent in so many ways, not just visually, but, you know, spiritually and everything, you're sort of almost, not overstimulated, but you'll try to live up to a life goal of expressing some of that and doing justice to that in so many different ways. In the actual music, in the words, places, you know, Dan has written a lot of, you know, homage to places and things and animals and everything. The other side that I want to bring up, though, is the community, which is completely different, really. The people of Alaska and the landscape of Alaska are sort of really two different beings that you relate to. We talked about audiences, but, you know, creating community through music and making everybody, like we just talked about, more aware of what that means for us as humans in this place. That's what I've been focusing on the last few years, more than even before, or just kind of honing what does that mean. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned AKIMI, you know, Alaska Independent Musicians Initiative. We're trying to work with the music community, get the musicians both professionally, maybe even financially, but sort of professionally ready to leave for a short period of time to get our music out there, to have kind of one or several Alaskan identities and so on. So that's an aspect of it that I'm working on right now quite a bit with support from some of our great, you know, philanthropist organizations and so on. So it's an interesting debate. But it comes back to, again, the person you are. You kind of try to find your identity in here. It's quite complex, actually.
Well, you know, I mean, I think about New Orleans jazz or New York City. Mm-hmm. And I mean, in many ways, you think jazz might be an urban sound. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, I'll piggyback onto what she was saying. That I think Alaska, just from a social structure, that most everyone in Alaska, not everyone, but most of us have come from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And so we don't have family here necessarily. Mm-hmm. And so we create family. We create our own family. And we develop really deep friendships and connections to people that when you're where you do have family, you don't tend to do that as much, I don't think, just because you're busy. Right, you don't need to.
Yeah.
So socially, I think Alaskans are that way. And musically, I'd say the musical community, I don't know if I was in another city, if I would really ever connect with folk musicians so much or country musicians. But up here, there aren't that many musicians, period.
You all know each other.
And so we all want to, Well, so what if I was thinking of... friend I met in Talkeetna, and she plays hammer dulcimer.
Yeah.
And I'd pull her in on some projects, you know, because she became a friend. And and it just, there isn't, the lines aren't nearly so clear. We're all speaking the same language, and just because we may speak it in a slightly different genre, we kind of draw each other together and draw each other into different elements.
Right, it's very flexible.
We don't have to live up to, sorry, John's term. I was going to say, we have a different set of expectations to live up to than people in other cities like New York, whatever. It's a completely different. So we're freer in some ways and more challenged in other ways, but it's different.
Mm-hmm. See, I guess I see it too, is Alaskans are truly everyday people. And I like that, you know. I'm going to throw a plug in here. One of my taglines, I'm a vocal coach, and I coach at Pice Music Studios. But what I do is I like working with everyday people. You know, the mom who wants to sing to her child, who just, you know, they everybody's singing in the shower. My tagline is I help people come out of the shower. But I do that because I know that a lot of vocal coaches do work with people like maybe in schools. But I really would love for people who just want to improve their skill to improve that. So whether you care, you know, whether you throw a fly rod or you shoot a gun, you still have a voice. And sometimes people want to sing. And I just want to help improve that. You know, I've been all over the world with the Air Force Band. I've done a number of kind of a lot of different kind of singing. So it applies to the school student, the college person, but it also applies to that everyday mom and dad, sister and brother who is sitting at home. And what I love about music here in Alaska is because it's easier to come out and sing and not feel like it's a voice thing or it's a America's Got Talent thing. It's just wanting to improve what we do, and grabbing those everyday people here in Alaska is a lot easier than if you went down to New York or you went to, you know, some of these other places. Yeah. You know, I'm not looking for a name for Pice Music. I'm just really looking to help people.
Yeah. Well, it makes me think, you know, we all know how to walk down the street, but we don't think of that we all know how to sing. You know, I mean, I was the kind of person that was kicked out of the choir. You know, the choir master listened and said, okay, you're out.
No, you know, that choir person was the kind of person that kicked you out of the choir. You were not any kind of person.
Well, do you,
this is the healing moment.
Stevie?
You're back in the choir.
Since we're saying this to you, do you know Stevie Wonder was actually, if I have this right, was told that he should give up singing.
Oh, well, it's a good thing he didn't.
Yeah. It is.
All right.
You should all give up.
I have to say goodbye.
Oh, no.
Thank you so much to Ingvild Vattengutu, mother of the Spinar Jazz Fest, Dan McElrath of the Dan Mac Trio, John Pipes Teamer, and listeners and callers. Next week on Justice Alaska on Hometown Alaska, co-host Senior Judge Elaine Andrews and Shelley Wozniak will present an overview of the Alaska Department of Corrections as seen through the eyes of its commissioner, their guest, Dean Williams. Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org. Dave Waldron is our audio engineer. I'm Kathleen McCoy. Thanks for joining us today on Hometown Alaska.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.